on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
God, I don't
know. Hello, everybody. Oh, yeah, I better turn on Tir na Sao. Oh, there's so much going on. There's too many people sending me messages. All right, anyway, hey, I'll stop complaining about it. Blimey, I asked for it. I said, I want to do internet radio. What a good idea. Anyway, the lines are open, if you want to call in. I just want to talk to people. I'd like to talk to people who I've not spoken to before, who I know are listening, who may be curious, or may be knowledgeable, may wish to correct, or maybe simply add their piece of the puzzle to the grand puzzle. The grand puzzle is, who are we? What do we want? Why are we here? What should we have for lunch? Now, most of the time, it's that final question that is the only one that gets answered. So, look, you can also come to the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You can go to Haggy Shack Radio. You can go to Ever Beyond Radio. We've all got the same chat room, and it helps to spread the load. Because these servers, they seem to fall over when, you know, you get any decent amount of people on. Anyway, no problem. You can actually also go to Wolf Spirit Radio Chat. Chatango, Chatango, or Chatango, like cha cha and tango. com, and those are the chat room coordinates URL. What shall we have for lunch? So, yes, indeed, Rodan. Yes. So I'm very interested in what's going on. You can also, there's a Skype button. Oh, there used to be a Skype button. I'm going to have to put that back as well. Every time the website gets really good, somebody knocks it over. I feel like an ant with somebody trying to make me, just kicking over my ant hill every time I build it up. So, it's now March, 2016. Never thought we'd get here. Things are going weird. I remember that there was one question in Simon's chat of the guy who keeps seeing the repeated numbers, these questions. What's going on? What's going on for yourself? And one of the things that, you know, I want to share with everybody is that I had this, and I still get this experience, is I'll have a thought, and just a few seconds later, I'm listening to a random radio station, and somebody expresses that same thought. You could put that down to coincidence, and, you know, you could be thinking something really random. But sometimes, you know, I'm actually conversing with the person. You know how you used to talk at the telly? You know, like, it would have no effect. These days, if you talk to tellies, it starts to answer back, because they're listening. But I was listening to a radio show that I produce sometimes, and the word that I was thinking Now, I can't actually remember what it was, and I apologize, but this is just a really random example. I came up with the word, and it was kind of bouncing around my head, and I was listening to Sean on. I was just frying some food, and I thought this thing, and right in the middle of his sentence, in an entirely inappropriate place, he put that same word. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I just put that thought in his head. I have to be careful what I'm thinking. Because now we're beginning to realize, you know, these things are real, you know. And that the little rays that come out of my body are not rays, they're the kind of measurement. It's like a sonar, like a builder these days. If you, build buildings, you have a little box. It's got a laser in it, and it'll look at the reflection between your place where you are and the wall that it's pointing at, and it'll tell you by the number of microseconds that it takes to bounce back how far away it is to the millimeter. You can also do that with sound as well. That's a sonar. So we've got these detectors, and in our body, our physical body, is loaded with things like that. And when they say, you know, the body is a technology, and the DNA strands, when you activate the DNA strands, it's like buying a car. You buy a car for like $200, right, in an ideal world. You buy a car for $200, and after a while, you want to get an improved car, but instead of getting an improved car, you just pay them $400. And what they do is they send a man over, and that man takes a Stanley knife, X-Acto knife, and cuts round a little hole in your dashboard, and boom, reveals a whole bunch of meters and tachyometers and speedos and voltmeters and everything that wasn't there or wasn't available to you, but was there in the first place. And it's so, you know, and then you pay $600, and then he cuts away another little panel, and there you got more facilities. There's a radio, you know. And so what I'm saying is that our physical bodies are like that vehicle. That somehow somebody has take some gaffer tape and put it on top of the display panels, and so it looks just like a horrible little, you know, plastic dashboard. But you just have to pull it off, and you can see underneath it. So, in a way, that's what I'm saying our bodies are. This is what unactivated DNA is. These are like temperature sensors, or fourth-dimensional eyes, or future audient facilities. Like, you know, you've got your ears. The way I've said it is, you know, again, like a car. You're driving along a car and it's dark, okay? So you can't see what's going on. And you'll crash into something. So you need to have headlights on when it's dark that can see into the gloom, into the near gloom. You don't need to see all the way, you know, you don't need to see 10 hours down the road. You only need to see, like, the next few seconds. And we have these things called headlights. And our bodies and our etheric bodies and the way we're structured, the constitution of ourselves is such that you can make available these faculties. You can see slightly ahead, you can hear slightly ahead. There is a kind of narrative that people tune into, and that's what Simon was calling the flow. And if you're tuned into it, you could be watching a movie and you can hear the dialogue about, you know, 3 or 4 seconds before it happens. Just enough time. Develop that. That's like having headlights. There's nothing wrong with it. It's normal. Now, if you knew what was coming, things wouldn't be so much of a shock. You'd be sort of prepared for things. So when the naturally occurring shocks that naturally occur happen, you're prepared for it. Now, some people see further down the road, they got brighter headlights, you know, and we call these people seers and prophets, because they got floodlights, you know, they're like a great big juggernaut vehicle, you know, and they can see much further down the road. Need infrared. What's this? JP is describing crippleware. Oh, my 5D sandbox. Oh, very good. Who mentioned Celestine Proper? I didn't know. Anyway, so yes, the confused Dave. Yes. So basically, we have these DNA faculties that have been, you know, crippled. Yeah, crippleware. There we go. Good. It's an IBM sales technique, by the way. This is how I discovered it. I discovered this like 30 years ago when I first worked in computing. The place where I worked, the university, they had an IBM 360, which is the big, you know, the people talk about the room full of computer. Well, it was one of those. It was a big room, you know, much bigger than my, you know. It's twice the size of my entire floor space in my cottage. And it was kept at 80 degrees, and it was, there was a, you know, a sort of airlock thing, and you'd have to walk in over a special carpet that took the dust off your feet, and these carpets were changed every couple of days, and, you know, it was a clean room. And, so where am I going with that? Yeah, so this was an IBM 360 65, which is the serial number of this thing. You can look it up. If you Google IBM 360, you see this thing, and it had, you know, a great big control panel with switches and buttons and lights, and a great big red button that, instead of pressing, you yank out. And what it was it was attached to a great big loop of cable, of steel cable. And as you pulled on it, this steel cable literally cut through all the wires on the front panel to disable the computer. That's what I call a stop button. Anyhow. So, the other primitive thing about this computer is that it was built with lots of memory in it. Except, if you didn't pay them, if you didn't pay them for it, the memory was just shorted out with a little piece of metal called a jumper. And you see these things on circuit boards. If you've ever had to open your computer, sometimes if you need to reset the BIOS, you need to get in there and look at a jumper or inserting hard drives. Anyway, it's a little black plastic thing with a metal piece inside it. Anywho, when you buy your computer, IBM, you pay them, you know, $500,000 or whatever it was, or, you know, several million dollars or however much it costs. And if you wanted an upgrade, again, they would send the engineer down, and he would go along, open the panel, open the thing, and he'd pull out a jumper. And you go, there you go, reboot it, and there you got more memory. So that's the business model that we're working with, basically. Oh, yeah. Like Nagware. Yes. Meanwhile. So I would really like to talk to some people. I know there's lots of you there because I can see you all. I'm looking in through your radio. I'm looking out of your eyeballs through your ears. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Anyway. The power supply is inbuilt now, so how do we turn them off without putting in a bucket? No, you just pull the plug out. That little kettle lead. You know, the same. Yeah. But, so we're basically a kind of super model how can I put this? I suppose it's like not quite a racing car. What would be a great analogy? We're a kind of general purpose vehicle, but there are kind of various different models. You know, there's the athlete, there's the geek, there's the warrior, you know, there's the monk, there's all these different archetypes of human, and they all have different physical body types, And, you know, there's various subs, but there's, you know, usually, as there are, seven different varieties, hard and soft, and, you know, different grades of physical matter. Some very gross and some very fine, some refined, you know. So, yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed, to call in for the show, you can call in on, if you're in America or Canada or Mexico, you can dial 1-775-773-3431. Yeah, I've got a jingle somewhere. No. And then also, if you're in the U of K, some people called in from the U of K before, but I don't know if you're still waiting, still around. But the number is 1410141 356 4141 356 4141. That's a number that comes straight into the studio, but it's not a listen number, I'm afraid. People were trying to call in because the thing came listening, the broadcaster went awry. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the Wolf Chat. So I'm having a look at that. So what have we got here? Thank you very much. And where was I? Yeah, so do call in. I'm interested in talking about lots of things. There's so many things that are going on that I'm kind of... you can also, you know, put something in the chat room here. You don't need to use the question and answer system here, because basically there's only me and you're not interested in what I have to say, to be honest. But it's been such a week that I'm really kind of in a blank right now to kind of talk about any one specific subject. We were talking before about being in a place where you are not really wanting to know who you really are, just in case you kind of put your head above the parapet too soon and it gets shot off. You have a big question, Scenic Journey, but you don't feel to call in. There is a Skype. It's called Wolf Spirit Radio. And I think you can just dial it, I think. It forwards to me. Yeah, time is now. 0141 356 4141. There we go. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, James. The Skype is Wolf Spirit Radio. And it should forward to me or to Colleen. But you can call in to me as well if you know who I am. If you've got a Skype connection with me, you call in. But really, I'm looking for new people. I want new people, so you can call in by phone. And I want to hear what you're thinking about the show, how it was for you. Did you enjoy it? What was the what was your experience of experiencing the experience? I often have stuff to talk about. It's my perspective is kind of galactic, as above, so below. So if you want to, the way I see things is that there's, and this is, my perspective has grown over the years, because I started out just like everybody else. I was a listener to the radio station, very curious, and then people started to call in. People started asking me questions. I thought, all right. And I was able to answer the questions that people asked. So, no Nung talk. Why not? Why not? What's wrong with Nung? TheNung.com, please, go to it. Understand. So, there's a question. There, finally, I've got something to hook into. All right, how important, Scenic Journey, how important is understanding our soul origin? Why is it important to know who you are? Because people all the time, other people will tell you who you are. They're only too willing to tell other people who they are, which is, of course, a projection of who they should be. It's okay, but please, if you're going to put a question, put it in all capitals so it's distinct from the chatter, because I've got these old eyes. I only see with my ears most of the time. I hear your question, so you need to shout a bit louder than the hubbub. And of course, the Earth is a globe, an expanding globe at that. Deal with it. yeah, come in and call. Call about it. Is the Earth toroidal like a donut? Alright. It's, well, according to this guy the other day, it's like an onion. I can be with that. You know, everything's an onion. So, your soul origin. Yes, we are created by the source. From what it appears, you make an appearance at one point in the galaxy, in the universe. You know, you protrude into this universe from some other place. And using your soul, you attach it to a physical being. Or you attach it to an event that then creates a physical being. That then grows into a person. That then becomes a vehicle. The person, the being, the heart, the, you know, the body is like the vehicle. It's like the RV that you buy. You know, where do you live? In my body. What's your name? Me. You know, you're inside this thing we call a body. And people identify as, you know, you're black, you're white, you're gay, you're Jewish, you know, you got all these things. But on the inside, you're just me. And oddly enough, everybody else feels exactly the same. Yeah, oh yes. But anyway, your soul... Everything in the universe is alive. Everything has a consciousness. Even things that we think are inanimate have a consciousness. If only you could hear them. The only reason you don't hear them is you're not listening with the appropriate organ. And some of those appropriate organs exist in our body but are shut down because of the DNA alterations. But they are there, and we can reactivate them. How do we do that? We decide that that is so. Every time we decide something is so, that creates a little bit more confidence in ourselves, and that also makes the thing so. Start small. Don't try and change the world yet. But just make small differences. Tiny, tiny, subtle differences that only you can tell if the universe is listening to you. But it is, and it will. And if you listen hard enough, carefully enough, the universe is talking to you all the time. Little cracks and pops in the fire or the stove, little snaps and pops on the speakers, creaks in the house. The world, the universe is talking to you all the time. Yeah, thinking with a different organ, Colleen, good idea. Yeah, imagine if you could think with another organ instead of your brain, what would happen? Yeah, instead of thinking with a computer, think with a coffee maker. Yeah, look at life from the point of view of a coffee maker, a filter, you know. You might be thinking about the liver. You know, what's it doing all the time? Oh, I'm just filtering stuff. You know, oh, look at that. Oh, God, isn't that disgusting? You know, is that the conversation that you'd have with your liver? Is that its attitude? You know, do your organs have different attitudes? Can this be changed? Can we persuade organs to do what they're supposed to be doing? You know, oh, dear, I've just realized that had a terrible innuendo, and I wasn't even thinking about that. But anyway, I'm just thinking about organs like the liver and the kidneys, folks. Now, those, I can hear you. Those of you with filthy minds have brought it down. I know, but anyway. So, you stated that Simon stated that 75% of the ETs are against us. Stephen Greer states that they are friendly. If they wanted to get rid of us with their technology, they would have had our eyes water. In other words, they can destroy us anytime, so they're friendly or not. Thank you, Pleiadian Soul. It's a whole lot more complex. You know, sometimes if they've got a hostage Taken a hostage, and that hostage has got knowledge or precious information. They don't kill it, but you know they might, you know, mistreat it a bit. And that's about where we're at. You know, there's always a bigger game. This is what I'm saying. You know, even the idea of events that have happened long, 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 long time ago have an effect today, and that we're still seeing the same thing play out. Now, I'm referring, at this point, to the destruction of Maldek, which, according to the whole story, was a Pleiadian situation. But there was a side effect, is that Mars was destroyed at the same time, and we're finding about this. All sorts of different fragments of this story are coming back together. But I'm thinking, what if we apply today's thinking to that very ancient event? Because we know that even the sinking of the Titanic was what we call today a false flag event. Many people who opposed the formation of the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor has reserves, were on that ship, which wasn't even the Titanic itself, it was the Olympia. Very interesting naming, by the way. Titans, Olympia. Sorry, I'm just looking at the JP, you need 60 cups of coffee, pop the tea water. Maybe about 10. Alright, the Skype contact. Well, I don't know if you should be, if you can call this Wolf Spirit Radio. I might have to go on to, just see if I can maybe log into Skype on there. And see, let me just kind of log in. There we go, sign in. And there's a facility. Come on, there we go. Wolf Spirit Switchboard. Alright, yeah, there was Wolf Spirit Switchboard. That's another one, which is horribly spelt. There's too many. So that's the one that's got the number on it. This is so complicated. Oh, so complicated. Why does it have to be so complicated? I have to use a different browser to get to the other Skype. And meanwhile, it's just wasting airtime. So, anyway, just look. Okay. Right, my Skype here is jeremy.perron. There we go. There. Put it in the chat room. That will get through to me. Right. Meanwhile, yes, how interesting. So, consider that the destruction of Maldek, as mentioned in the show previously, could be, as we call it, a false flag. Could it be that the Pleiadians are to the long-time Islam? Were they blamed for something that they didn't kind of exactly do? It's a very interesting story. There were plans afoot. There was somebody manipulating the whole thing. Yes, indeed. Release the Kraken. So, the idea that some kind of more galactic version of the Federal Reserve Mafia is in operation, that is kind of ruling the galaxy in the same way that it's ruling the Earth, and that somehow, right here, maybe today or sometime this week,
decisive moments will occur that will change the balance of power for the better, for everybody, to the seventh generation. Aho, thank you for that. So, that's another topic. This is from Hentik. There's a topic. There's so much info on the web nowadays, it must be really confusing for newbies. This may turn off or turn away some prospects. What would be a good few steps to help people become more aware, like a phase one must-do for people that won't take the red pill? I haven't seen anything like this online. The red pill. Well, the red pill is red, you know, red line mean danger. You know, it's a color that we sometimes flock towards or sometimes run away from, you know. But the red pill. Yeah. Yeah. But the red pill. Why doesn't anybody want to take the red pill? Because it's a risk. And people have been so traumatized because every time anybody takes a risk, they seem to get hurt. And nobody wants to be hurt again. I think, you know, we're fed up of being hurt. We're fed up of being disappointed. We're fed up of prophets who are empty with their prophecies that never come true. We're always disappointed. We're trained to be disappointed. You know, why do you think Disney creates all these millions and millions and millions of little princesses who think their knight with shining armor will come along, meanwhile missing the loving boy who adores her from next door because he's not looking like that fantastic blonde blue-eyed Nordic or whatever in the Disney movies? You see my point? It's bound to create disappointment. It's designed to create disappointment. It's an energy. It's an energy form. There we go. Look at all that. And still nobody calls me in. Huh? Hummus and corn chips. That sounds like... Oh, I've got some hummus. Oh. You know, my girlfriend brought me a... I don't talk about this. The stuffed vine leaves with mint yogurt rice wrapped inside the vine leaves. It's a Greek delicacy, and the, you know, drowning in olive oil. It's just delicious. Yeah, kids love it. Yeah, absolutely, James. Hey, nice to have you over. Disney is a massive manipulator. He hates it. Kids love it, sadly. Yeah, because it's really glitzy. It's got all of these, you know. It's got lots of that. You know, by the way, I'm exploiting Disney programming here. but it's all right. Ah. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, TJ? You know you're on the air.
Hi, JP. Yeah, I've just been working on some of the stuff, trying to help Vanessa.
Ah, helping Vanessa, that's always a good thing.
Yeah,
because Vanessa's doing a zillion things with each finger. You know, yeah. 10 zillion things. Like, that's a lot. Because she's got lots of fingers.
Yeah,
so, what's
just
news?
Not much. It looks like it wants to rain down here.
Uh-huh. Oh, from my scale thing here at midnight UK time, we should be observing an aurora if you look outside the window, except I'm sitting here on the bloody radio, but I might step out, might put some music on in a minute and step out and have a look, because
it looks like we might get some rain here.
Oh, poor you, lucky me. Anyway,
yeah,
so this is so TJ, what's up?
Just checking in. Got you working here. I'll let you go.
Sorry, Troy?
I said I'll let you go.
You let me go? Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Tell me, what were you saying anything
about, were you wanting to bring up something about what we've been talking about today, or did you hear Simon's show?
Yeah, I heard a little bit. I just mostly checking in, got you guys on there, so if something comes up, I can call you in.
Uh-huh. Just making sure they got, testing the connection. Hello, M1212. Anyway, nice to have you. Thanks for doing the work that you're doing, and we'll talk down the line, TJ.
Okay, will do.
Thanks very much. So, where are we? Yes, Pleiadian Soul. Is Disney a way to take children's astral bodies? Right, okay. Let me just remind you of the Disney byline. And first of all, I just want to say, your imagination is your power. It's where you are able to manifest from. Okay? Bearing that in mind, when I say Walt Disney capturing your child's imagination, it takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it? Yes. Do you want your child's imagination, your child's ability to manifest, to be captured by a corporation? Really? You'd let that happen? Yeah, they've destroyed everything. Everything they touch turns to, I don't know. Yes. Very manipulative. There is sex magic stuff going on. Oh man, hey, should we talk about Disney? Come onto Skype, just come onto the call and talk about Disney if you had an experiences of a Disney related issue that you didn't think before was related to Disney. Like, you know, growing up thinking that the world was a particular way, and then suddenly bang, the School of Hard Knocks tells you, oh, Disney's not real. Is there anybody here still who thinks that Disney is real? Hi, Disney. Yeah, well. Call in. Yeah, call in, everybody call in. Especially, people who've not called in, or people who haven't called in for a while. Now, yes, right, okay, so we had this show the other night. Oh yeah, 6 bloody hours. Oh man. Sean said the night afterwards that it was the worst 2 hours of his radio career. Basically, they, some organization just kind of shoved this guy in the limelight, and he's like, for 2 hours. Not being able to explain himself. But you got and it was it just felt like somebody's held my head under the water for 2 hours. Like, it was like, but by the, Mr. Rowe did a show, got him a bit more warmed up, and then he comes over to Wolf Spirit, and let's have a round table and discuss what just happened. And he calls in, and he turns out to be a lot more fluent in the third thing. What comes out? Well, Lisa calls into the show and seems to, develop a bit of rapport with this guy who's driven a TR3B. And actually knows all the TR3 series, and was able to say, that she was driving in a TR3A, and my God, what a wreck that is, and they shouldn't be driving around in such a dangerous vehicle. it's like one of those, test vehicles that never quite made it off the off the prototype pad, yet somebody's driving it around, not fully formed. Yeah. Peter had Sean's please, it's pretty hard to do, yes. So, yeah, why are all the heroes young girls? What's that all about? Well, you're defeminizing girls, aren't you? You're turning them into fighters and warriors and people who mistrust. It's, yes. Oh God, yeah, don't ask me that sort of question. That is your thought about other people's predictions. You know, remember that predictions are not like, oh, on this day this will happen and this day that will happen. Doesn't work like that. You know, planetary mechanics. You know, if you look at a planet and you observe it moving through the solar system or moving across the solar system, if it's a dwarf star or something, you don't know what forces are acting on it to make it speed up or slow down. It may even be self-powered. How do we know? You know, we've only seen one star close up. How do we know? So, you know, this thing might be coming through. It might be slowing down because of the gravitational pressing force of the star. It might be speeding up due to the magnetic pulsing of some other pulsar. You know, we don't know. So it might arrive in May, it might arrive in June. You can't tell. The universe is not on rails. Brothers and sisters, the universe is not on rails. It really isn't. It's more like a boiling pan. You know, it's more alive than that. Huh. Yeah, James has got his prophet's prediction. I can tell you what's going to happen within the next year. The further integration into the New World Order through the Sustainable Development Agenda, also known as Agenda 21, improving the Third World at the expense of the First World, equality all at Second World status. Yeah, well, that's James's thing. So Alex is doing a webinar on the 18th, my 55th birthday. My master number. Yes, I need more tea. It's 20 minutes. Well, I could have it. I don't have to break at the top of the hour. Who cares, you know? I can break whenever I like. It's my radio station. I could put some music on now, really, you know, and if only I could grab the right mouse and go and replenish my cup of tea. Since nobody's calling in, I might as well just go and make a cup of tea. So you enjoy this piece of music while I go and check the tea. This is Mark Chestnut with what became an Aerosmith hit with I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. Listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, indeed, Wolf Spirit Radio. On wolfspiritradio.com and Ever Beyond Radio and Tiranasau Radio and Haggy Shack Radio and maybe a multitude of other stations. Who knows? So, yes, here we are. I'm just trying to check out the chat room here. Oh, thank you. Oh, bless your heart. Thank you very much. It's my birthday on the 18th, not on the 6th. So, you know when my birthday is, Bright Eyes. It's the opposite of yours. And thank you, everybody, for your happy earthly birthday. Yes. Anyway, meanwhile, I'm just going to, yeah, that's a very good question. Lauren, 1984, poses the question, if benevolent souls are incarnating on Earth to help raise the frequency, do you suppose malevolent souls come to do the opposite? Well, what do you think? I'm beginning to think that there's definitely everybody has what I call their mark. You know, somebody who kind of follows them around and they could be what you call a handler. They could have all sorts of connotations. But in the end, whether you think that they're sent by God or the devil, if they're good people and you have a good time, then it was a good time. If they're not so good people and you have a challenging time, then you're stronger. You're smarter. You've learned a thing or two. You're not so naive. You're not so gullible. So you won't fall for it again, will you? Next time. So that's why, you know, we have this opposition. So, raising the frequency. We've raised the frequency despite that which is around us. That's how we do it. We hold our frequency. And that changes things. Bushes. Don't know about bushes. Right. Rhesus. She ain't my queen. Slaughtering bloodlines. You know, I don't like the whole idea of slaughtering bloodlines. What's the purpose of it all? What, you know, here I am. I'm talking about vehicle, right? And really, that's what it's about. The human vehicle. It's like the Chevrolet of physical forms. It's got lots of faculties. It's got lots of little buttons and dials and stuff. You know? And they're trying to fob us off. Because, you know, these bodies are built for the human soul. You know, non-human souls fit uncomfortably into it. It's like, you know, an elephant trying to drive a Mini Cooper. Now that's a very interesting question. Who is the bigger threat? The neo-Nazis inhabiting Mars? This is from Lauren, 1984. The neo-Nazis inhabiting Mars, who we'd call the Illuminati? Or are they one and the same? There's so many factions. They're all bastards. You know, one goes for the soft kill, one goes for the hard kill. You know, the Bush-fed faction goes for the hard kill. They're the hardcore Nazis. You know, Project Paperclip never ended. What you call the corporate world, that's the Nazi International. And it's all here. It's been here, and we've not noticed it. Closing around us. So what do we do about it? What did we do about it last time? Was it successful? No. Can we try it again? Can we end the Fourth Reich before it really starts to, you know, take a foothold? I believe that the Fourth Reich is that tyrannical energy that Alex Collier has been talking about since he started coming on the scene. The New World Order, of whatever you call it. The Nazi World Order. The Nazi International. You know, whatever you want to call it, it's here. It will arrive. But what happens next? That's up to us. They think they've got it sussed because they're bright. You know, they're really bright. You know, who had better scientists, you know? Why did we steal them? Why was there a Project Paperclip? It was our greed that brought them over. Look at that science. They all know that science. Well, we can't let the Russians have it. So let's take some. Except, apparently, the Russians and the Americans working all together, all the same, all the way through. Cold War was an illusion. All that stuff. Yes, indeed, Iron Sky. So, yes, there's Nazis everywhere, you know. I don't want to seem paranoid, but there's Nazis everywhere. They're under the ice in Antarctica. They're under the ocean in that place just off the African coast, I think. It's Portugal coast or something. You know, that if you look on Google Earth, you see the kind of square designs and stuff like that. It's underneath that. There's Nazis on the moon, Nazis in the hollow earth, you know, bloody everywhere, Nazis in space. Yeah, it's not so good. But the thing about it is, According to this fellow Peter. Now, this is the big thing about Peter. What the thrust of the whole thing is. That there's this big bad invading force coming our way. Now, it may be the Borg, you know, or the equivalent of. They seem to be a sort of invincible fleet kind of thing going on. This is what came from Peter from the ACIO. So, the Advanced Contact Intelligence Organization. He didn't seem that intelligent. He didn't seem that advanced. But anyway. But, you know, he may open up. He may have been just terrified being on air for the first time. Anyway. Okay. So, from what I understand, his message is there's this big, terrible, bad thing happening, and in order to deal with it, we have to ask the Nazis nicely to look after us, to be their guardians. Which I think, personally, is a big, fat psyop to my personal feeling. In the, it's a Nazi trap, you know. Yeah, I'll protect you, all right? Yeah, sure. I think they're trying to stand in the way, and that they've created this invincible illusion of force. Yeah, exactly. Planting seeds of suggestion. We don't need guardians, and yet we do. But we don't need guardians who are just guarding us because, you know, it's like they're guarding the farm, you know, they're guarding the cattle field. No, we don't need that kind of guardian. Okay. We have our own guardianship. Many of you know who you are. So, meanwhile, factions of the Zionists and the Nazis. Yeah. So basically, the thrust of this ACIO person, if he is from the ACIO, is that we're going to get screwed unless we make a deal with the Nazis. But we don't really trust them either, and it's like they're coming. I'm going, really? Yeah, that's it. That's as much as you can muster. That's our only option, you know. Either the breakaway Nazi civilization or nothing. Okay. I don't think so. What do you guys think? Call in. You know. Check it out. So, where else were you also talking about? Yeah. So yeah, it's big. Okay. You know, come and talk to me. Yeah, come and talk to me. Don't need guidance that's saying let's give up our own power for somebody else to protect us when we really don't need the protection. Well, I mean, like Simon was saying, there are 75% hostility. So it may be worthwhile having some sense of guardianship, you know. But maybe we need Earth humans in Earth human ships who are, you know, benevolent towards entire humanity. But the thing is, what we're talking about a global awakening. Beyond global. Humanity awakening. No matter where, you know, whatever planet it's on. That's what Walt was alluding to earlier. That there are humans who have been kind of dumbed down a bit more than us, living as workers on this on these other colonies, and they've all been told that Earth has died and that we're all, you know, that, you know, there's no one left on Earth. Here we are, 7 billion of us. So, as Vanessa's saying, if we're supposed to be so special, let's assume the mantle of our own power and control. Yeah, absolutely. But you start small. See what you can influence. See the subtlety. Don't doubt it, but test it. See the subtleties. See if you can, by focusing on a feeling, that you can make that feeling happen again. You know, all by itself. That's the way, this is what they call manifestation. So, once you get the idea of manifesting a feeling, you know, so for instance, you can start off saying, by generating a feeling inside of yourself that you're happy to see an old friend. That sort of feeling. You know, the sort of happy to see an old friend feeling? Oh, hi, what's been going on? You know, oh, what have you been doing? You know, how are you? How's the family? You know? Intense curiosity. There's a lovely feeling of, you know, oh, it's like finding an old box in the attic, and inside the box is things that you remember from your childhood or from the past, and there's photographs and things and stuff, and it brings you all the way back. You know, that's a feeling, and if you concentrate in that feeling long enough, with enough emotion, and it doesn't take much, by the way, it doesn't take much. Then what you may find is that you're contacted by some old friend. Try it. You know, design your own experiments as to how to shape reality, because that's what we're doing. And we shape reality to make it fit us. We terraform the world. We build houses, or, well, people build houses for us. Wouldn't it be nice to build a house that was your dimension? A house that had the same dome as your head, as your own skull. Why does the inner Earth civilization not step up? That's a good question. I don't know the answer. Because they don't want to. Because they're lazy. They can't be asked. I don't know why they don't want to step up. Anyway, so look, it's the beginning of the next hour. It's midnight here in the U of K. We'll be entering soon the nightmare fortnight, where synchronization of the daylight time takes 2 weeks to resynchronize. So, if we don't have any guests coming in at the right time, you'll know why. Anyway, let's have a bit of music again. Yeah, I like this one. The Turtles. All right, so I've just checked the Skype thing here. And I'm logged into the... Oh, no, that's broken it. Okay, when I say that. It's just broken it. Oh, never mind. Stop script. Debug script. Continue. Who knows? Get started. Ah, bloody thing. All right. So, now, what's happening here? Nope, that's not doing anything. Get started. So, I'm just seeing. So, basically, if you want to call in, you can call in to All Spirit Radio at Skype. No, it won't work for me. Or something. It don't... it's, like, bloody useless. All right. Screw that. So, you can call in on the numbers. 775-773-3431. And you'll get there. Or you can call me jeremy.peron, which is on Skype. But you have to do the whole thing with the contact request and all that. Yeah, so, meanwhile. When I say start small, I'm not trying to limit anybody. I'm not trying to say, you know, don't be so ambitious. No, what I'm saying is, don't try and invoke a power. You know, it's like, you don't want to get into a tank when you've never ridden a bicycle, if you see what I mean. You know, you've got to learn how the thing works, how it, you know, how it sits in your body, how, what the kind of response you might feel. Because you have to be kind of gentle in a way, you know, it's like, you don't, when you get into a car and you turn on the motor, you don't put your foot down hard on the gas, do you? You hit the gas very gently. It's very, very important not to do so. So if you're, you know, working your manifestation, what I'm saying is, it's a bit like, you don't want to create too much turbulence with your stuff. Okay. Right, good, good. Right, okay. I don't know what that message was all about. Captain, General. Dr. Man, what is going on here? Test everything. Yeah, well, you know, you can get the first start, you know, as I said, you start off with, you know, manifesting like the feeling, because it's to do with the feeling. The universe speaks in feelings. Like, you know, people who speak to animals, that's how they do it. They speak in feelings. Clairsentience, you know. You basically tune into your heart, which is, it's a natural quality, it's a natural ability of us. There's another one, you know. Once you tune into the heart, you've got a vast number available to you. And like I said, it's like an extra speedometer that you didn't know about, you know? And like the questioner on Simon Show said, you know, I'm not a medium, but I'm seeing all this stuff. Well, now you are a medium, you know. Now you are a psychic. We're all stepping into these places. We're all getting new qualities. And this ability to manifest the feeling happens quicker and quicker. So try it. And experiment and be conscious about it, that you're, you know, making a feeling, generating a feeling, generating something inside you. In the way that an actor does. You know, if you want to be a great actor, you have to get into the feeling of the role that you're playing. You know, you have to take on the attitude of the person who you're playing. You know, classic Robert De Niro trying to be a mafia boss. Yeah, you know, all that stuff. The method. So, Red Lyra, with tiny little blue letters, and you're asking a question. Come on, darling. What did I say before? I'm almost blind. And you're putting tiny little faded little letters. What, that you don't want me to notice you? Except you flood the chat room, yeah? Nice big capital letters, dark contrast, high contrast. Give me high contrast, that's what I need. Anyhow, yes. Again, and exactly, Bright Eyes, you know, if you're depending on physical traits, you're already in trouble. You know? There's... Oh, right. What is the most profound wisdom or realization that your spirit guides have taught you? It ain't true if it ain't part of a fractal omniverse. That's the most profound wisdom that you could imagine. If you understood what that meant, and I can break it down, if you don't understand what that means, it means this is how you know something's true or not. Right? A fractal omniverse, not a universe. There's multiple universes. And in the end, it's just the kind of one thing that is self-reflecting and very complex. Like, when you start to think about it, it kind of all loops around because it's like a torus, where it's just like continually spinning. Imagine a bagel or a donut turning itself inside out. Oh, my heed. Anywho, so fractal means that if something is true in one place, and generally in nature things are true, you know, you can really say, you know, a tree does this, it grows in this kind of spiral fashion, one leaf, three leaf, five leaves, you know, as Walt was talking about before. It's a fractal. Other things will behave the same way, you know. Bronchiole, you know, goes along a bit, divides, goes along a bit, divides, goes along a bit, divides, eventually becomes a lung. You know, it's a pattern. Things happen in these patterns. So, that's probably as profound as you get, and often it's the truth will make you laugh. At least make you smile, which is the opposite of laughing. So, yes. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the Dracos, the reptoids. There are many kinds of green creature. Some of them are not so bad. You know, frogs, toads, you know, geckos, axolotls. You know, there's lots of different kinds of lizard, aren't there? Well, it's like a layer of nature. You know, you've got your lizards and you've got your mammals and you've got your... And you know, how we develop as we... You know, you look at the embryo, how the embryo develops. It looks like a lizard, looks like a mammal, you know. Eventually becomes a person. In the layer of reptilian, there is a reptile humanoid. I've not seen one personally myself, but it was featured in X-Files, actually. I think episode 3. I think it was like the were lizard or something like that. But basically, he says, I've been hibernating for like 10,000 years. You know, they hibernate for a long time. These are Earth Draco lizards, reptilians that are living underground as we speak, under your feet, long, long, long way. Okay, yeah, inner Earth. Here's another thing that Peter said, and I kind of agree with. The Earth is like a layer, it's like onions, you know, and the crust is like the paper on the top. And underneath there's lots of, you know, caverns, cavities, that's the word, cavities. The Earth is full of cavities that have been there for, you know, millions and billions of years, maybe growing slowly, maybe growing crystals on the outside, you know, but there's some life in there. Even though it's been sealed away like a massive geode, there'll be some life in there. There'll be some, like, blind creature or, you know, something will manifest. So there's a massive tendency for life in the universe. So I wouldn't ever discount any reports of any kind of creature, really. Like Simon was saying, the island of Dr. Moreau. I think Mars is a bit like that, really. I think what I've heard is that it's just used as a sort of dumping ground for genetic experiments, and that's where you get all these weird half creatures that are kind of managing to survive there. Some things don't die, you know, or some things have such a grip on their survival instinct that they'll survive no matter what. Old ones.
Yeah.
Turn off your radio.
Oh, shoot. My speakers.
Turn off your speakers. Greetings. Yeah. Hi, Richard. How are you?
All right.
AKA Old Ones in the chat with the big type. Cause you,
yeah.
You got
I got bad eyes.
Vision like me, yeah. So what's up, dude? What's up?
I'd like to talk about Alex Collier and Max about the RV.
Right, okay, go ahead. What's the RV? I thought that was a kind of vehicle. The
no.
Revaluation of what?
Our money system off the people in Washington, D.C. corporation.
You mean the Federal Reserve Cabal Group?
Yes, they are on their way out.
Are they finally, the delivery? You know, because I used to read this stuff from, what was it, Poof? And Casper and all these guys, and this is like, oh, Jesus, I was like,
that's
seven years ago, yeah. So, go ahead, Richard.
Well, suppose the last info I heard about is the money's here in the United States, but when they're going to break it out, June, July, August, whatever, that's definitely going to be a world changer if it happens. Don't know.
Tell us more. What have you learned? You do a lot of studying and reading online. So can you, I mean, because I don't follow this either because it's too complicated. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's all these spies that are bumping each other off and all stuff. But can you break it down for everybody and give us a nutshell what's going on?
I don't follow that stuff too because it's too damn confusing. But yet Alex Collier says it's going to happen. He said it last month. And Max said it his last show. What do you think about this, Max? You more or less springboarded him into WSR.
Well, you know, people come your way, don't they? It just seemed to be a good idea at the time. Always does, you know. Like, oh, he's presented himself. So, there he is. A 21st dimensional Pleiadian.
I don't know about that.
But you know, people are talking about all sorts of dimensions. In a couple of weeks' time, when is it? In the 14th, I'm going to have. That's it. Yeah, on the 14th, on the Monday show, I'm going to have J.P. Sears. Do you know this guy?
No. Maybe.
Did you see a video last year? And it was how to be ultra spiritual. And it's basically about, you know, being competitive. It's like being more spiritual than the other guy. You know, just being one up. It was a comedy. It's a sort of like a new age comedian. So anyway, I'm having him on Monday. Not this Monday, but Monday a week on the 14th.
So, I just laugh at the concept of being one up on someone spiritually. Why bother?
Exactly. That's why it's funny. You know, it's like these people aren't, you know, you're not supposed to be competitive, but people are. And, you know, I live near a spiritual community, Findhorn, and I see this thing going on all the time. We're going to have a hoot. And he's also called JP, so it's going to be great.
Really?
Mm. Mm. JP Sears. And he's like, you know, subscribe to JP's channel. I should nick that. So there you go. So that's going to be a great fun happening. So, right, yeah.
Well, heck, throw a link in to mm-hmm. the chat room then, mm-hmm. so we can check it out ourselves before the show.
All right, I will it will be in the news feed on the Wolf Spirit Radio website. If you look at the right-hand side, it says latest news from our guests, or latest news from our hosts. And that gives you the ability to see. We got the RSS feed of all the hosts on our site. So whenever one of our hosts does a blog or...
You're talking about the forum?
No. If you look at the listen page... you look at the right-hand side, you know, where the chat room is, and you scroll down, and you see, let me just see who's on, let me just tune into it here, that should be that one. If you're tuning to wolfspiritradio.com/listen, it takes you to Wolf Chat, right? And then you scroll down, and it says there's the upcoming shows, and then it says latest news from our hosts. And you see there's Cosmic Reality Radio Show, this mysterious creature. So these are all the show.
But that'll be the time of the showing, not to give it a time to digest it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the time of its publishing, actually. So if I just go to my website, everbeyondradio.com, and then I put the link, here it is, 06, where is it? See, copy link location, there we go, into the chat room, there we go. That's the show note for the JP Sears show, so that should be quite fun.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, and the thing is, you know, I don't want to sit in front here and, you know, criticize or otherwise the hosts on the show.
You know, I understand that.
Because so far, nobody's upset me. And, you know, you'll know about it when they do, because they'll not be there. And that's it. And until that point comes, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's got their perspective.
You know? The one major opinion that I have of Max is he's too gung-ho.
Apparently that's what the aliens are like, yeah.
It may be necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's a future Palladian.
Well,
has nothing to do with the Palladian that we're supposed to be the eighth sun or star of the Palladian universe.
Which one's that? Do you know the name of it?
The Seven Sisters?
Yeah, well...
We're the eighth sister.
The eighth... Oh, the Earth being... Oh, the sun. Our sun being the eighth sister.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we are going... We're converging with that galaxy. It's going through each other. And it doesn't destroy us. Never does, because planets repel each other.
Gravity waves. Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. We've been completely misled as to the true nature of science, you know, that gravity is a wave, and it pushes, and, you know, all these little tweaks that make the black ops thing seem magical and unattainable, you know, like time like, travel and anti-gravity.
It's just like gravity. It pulls us to the planet. Bullshit, it's pushing us to the planet.
And how about this? The sun is cold.
Yes. It's hollow.
It's like a great
only has a reaction on the outside surface.
It's like one of those glass plasma balls, but made of iron, apparently. Like the surface of the sun is iron, like a porous, like a great... it's like a great big arc lamp.
I think it's just a bunch of magnetic fields. I don't think it's iron at all.
So yeah,
it's plasma in nature.
What are they saying here? What's this? Right, so is JP dodging answering about his feelings on Max?
Host he is.
Yeah, he's a host.
With just right. Yeah.
I don't want to create, you know, he's turning up as a host, he's presenting his content, I don't have to agree with everybody, I don't have to agree with my own girlfriend, you know, I don't have to agree, but I do respect everybody's right to say their stuff, you know, if it starts impinging on other people's free will, then, you know, we may have to have words, but so far it doesn't. So, you know, we leave it like that. The sun is a stargate. It is indeed.
Mm-hmm. And our DNA are the keys to many stargates out there. And that's why the ETs want our DNA. Mm. DNA is traded like cash here on this planet.
Mm. Yeah, so that's an interesting little snippet, because... that was another thing Simon was talking about, wasn't he? That they go shopping. When the mountains... Oh, man. You know the question that I have?
No.
All through these pictures of these Anunnaki fellows, they've got this bloody bag. This little handbag thing. Have you seen that?
Well, no.
All right, check it out. Every time you look at these ancient paintings, these ancient bas-reliefs, the things of Anunnaki, they've all got this thing, like a pine cone in their right hand, and in their left hand they're holding like a bag. It looks like a handbag.
Oh, yeah. I never equated it as a bag. I didn't know what the hell it was. Because I don't think the depiction is correct.
So
another one of those divide and conquer crap.
I wonder if that's a kind of a power pack.
Very well.
For the thing that they have in the right hand, you know, like a or it's their stash.
Of toys.
Yeah, of toys. of pipes and bongs and and bowls. Yeah. So, what's that? Stick that in your pipe and share it. Yeah, pass on the left.
Yeah, and nobody is hardly ever talking about black ops people. We are in space and been in space for over 60 years. There is a bunch of black ops people stuck outside the universe because they put up a defensive fence to keep people from coming in to our galaxy. And now they threw a blanket around the planet. That's a big question. What is what, and why are nobody talking about the black ops people? Our black spaceships, our Navy, Air Force?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many different space programs. There's the Navy's space program.
The Navy's really in control of all space programs.
Well, they're in charge of the sea, and they're in charge of space, which is the sea as well. You know, so
yep.
They got that. Yeah. And then there's got the Nazi secret space program, of course. That's what I've been kind of following. And then there's this Mayan. I mean, this is the information from Corey Good, and I'm not really, you know, there's a lot that is like, oh, this is coming from him, but is that really real? But I can imagine that there are several space programs, particularly like each of the military branches. You know, like you've got a naval air force, you've got a naval air fleet, haven't you?
Yep.
Then
it just
follows that you'd have a naval space fleet.
Well, a major transportation thing is TR-3Bs out there.
Yeah. So, talking of TR-3Bs, did you hear the conversation the other night with Peter?
Yes, I did.
What was
that
your...
guy was one crazy coot.
In a way, I feel sorry for him that he was like placed in this place. But he started talking about the TR series.
Yes,
with
did.
A certain amount of like, oh, I know about this stuff. That's when it really started to take off and get interesting, and then he started talking about the, you know, the great big threat, that was the big message, that it was a great big threat, and that we have to sort of make a big deal with the Nazis so that we can survive, and it's our and the Nazis are our last best hope for humanity.
Was it the Pleiadians or the Archons are coming back? It's the reason why we have to make this big deal.
Right.
Which is not a deal at all.
Well, from Sean's book, The Sands of Time, that's what that is about, this the Planetary Defense Force. And the Planetary Defense System, which, you know, have you read Sands of Time?
No.
You know what they do? Because they developed teleporting very early on. That's Fred Bell stuff, you know?
Yep.
Is that they developed teleported a gun into space. And with this gun, when it's set to 2, it can vaporize a spaceship. When it's set to 10, it can vaporize a planet.
Yep.
Or put a hole through a star, you know. And they can teleport this thing into space, set it off, and then teleport it back. And that's how the defense system works. Very clever.
Well, it's like Alex says, that the CERN people made a large increase in their power level, and pop, a big-ass two-football-length ship pops through this entry or portal or whatever you want to call it, and three scientists that were overseeing CERN disappeared. I've heard two or three stories about that when they raised the levels of power at night. There's only the people in the control room. They're part of the deal. They know what's really going on.
Hmm.
And people disappear.
I read, it was like a forum post, wasn't it? Somebody posted into this quiet little forum.
Yeah, it was like a story.
Yeah, that story of in three parts about disappearing, you know, the head of CERN.
Their mother, mm-hmm. called Mother.
Who's called Mother, who's a bloke. Just
to
confuse
could
things.
Be a woman, could be a man.
There's a bloke called Keith. Yeah, there's always a bloke called Keith. Anyway.
Keith's pretty good.
Yeah, Keith will do. Anyway, so there's a bloke called Keith, and he's, Ooh, what's that? That just sounds like a dentist drill going off. Have you got a door opening or something?
Oh, sorry. That's my cigarette machine.
Oh, is it? God, sounds like you've just injected yourself with a kind of drill.
Well, it's got...
Old one trepanning himself live on air.
Ow!
Oh, yeah, sorry, I interrupted you, because what that sound is you taking a puff on your e-cigarette, which is why you're now coughing. I'm sorry. Please accept my apologies. Don't make him speak when he's smoking.
No, I'm not smoking either. I haven't even lit it.
Oh. All right. Okay. Meanwhile, diddle-diddle. So, yeah. G-force. You know, wouldn't it be nice to develop a rucksack that had an anti-grav unit in it, that no matter how much you put into it, it didn't get heavier?
I think they're already in existence.
I want one of those. I'd like a pair of heels that did that too.
Boots?
Just enough. Yeah, boots. That were just enough to make me not, you know, feel the pressure of gravity on my feet. That'd be great.
Oh, I'd want one like Jupiter Rising.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, if you want, yeah, you just crank it up and vroom, away you go. Like an ice skate. That was so lovely, that the image of those boots in Jupiter Rising.
Yep.
For those who haven't seen the film, they've got little plasma reactors in the heels, and this guy is like the Silver Surfer. He's just like skating across the sky. Awesome stuff. And he was an engineered super soldier they called a splice.
Mm-hmm. A failed splice.
A failed splice. Yeah, because he had a heart. And that's the thing. Now, this is the thing I've learned from Matt, from Dan McBoylan, is the is a lot of these super soldier splicings that they use is to try and make them more obedient. But the one thing you cannot defeat is the energetic output of the human heart, which, if you tune it, can override any of this technology. And that's, you know, that's why you get all these super soldiers who are just kind of breaking down, because their human heart is coming out and activating and deactivating all the other bits of genetics that tell them to follow orders or connect with the hive.
Well, that's where the collective consciousness is all from. It's not from our brains. It's from our heart.
The universe speaks in feelings.
Yep. And that's why they can't kill us. They're trying like hell. Now they can't bomb us. Why? Because of the ETs. So they're not all bad out there. But we don't know who the good guys and the bad guys are.
So how do you know?
This mentorship that Alex talked about, this mentor of what? in what depths? Some kind of control?
Well, really, the mentorship is like... imagine if everybody had a personal Simon Parks or Alex Collier, who you didn't have to go to a website, that you just have a friend, you know, who you can send emails to or have a Skype conversation with.
Oh, but how do we really know it's a friend? Ooh. Even though we got one of these guys on our 24/7,
mm-hmm.
How do we really know he's a friend?
By their fruits, isn't that the high?
Well,
you know what happens
for every man, woman, and child on the planet. I think it's a little late to decide. Oh, these we don't want around anymore. How do you get rid of them? Too late, sucker.
Well, and this is where the genetics and the DNA come in. Do you practice any form of manifestation, Richard?
Only if I'm really upset about something.
Have you ever tried it without being upset?
No.
Oh, it works better when you're not upset. But and that's mainly it. You know, that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't get upset, is because your manifestation doesn't go right, because you're dealing with conflicting signals.
Well, I left something in Oklahoma somewheres at a rest stop for a state park type deal, came home and I couldn't find it anywhere. I got really upset. It's right by the right side of my chair, which it wasn't there the night before. I kind of, whoa, where'd this come from?
Mm-hmm. Apportation.
Yep. It just didn't upset me or anything. I just says, how did that get there? I looked all over Hill's Half Acres and I couldn't find it. It's part of a $300 set that I got from Dale.
Maybe they're being called back for a refit, you know.
Don't know.
So, yeah, is there any news from Talos? You heard anything from Talos?
No.
No?
Dale is not communicating with them at all.
Nah, all right, okay.
Because he called him a couple times and he refused to call.
Hmm. Exactly. Have you been checking out the forum?
I've been looking at it, but mm-hmm. I haven't put anything in it.
Ah, that's what we want. Start putting things in. We like things put in. And by the way, everybody, we have a forum that is building up, a forum, not a five-um or a three.
Yeah, no.
A forum that is building up. It's being managed by Vanessa and Time Is Now and Dottie and TJ is doing something. I gave him a picture of a wolf today. I don't know why. Anyway, he's doing something as well. So it's going to be full of fantastic content, and it's going to look cool as well, I hope. And it's certainly going to have a wolf on it somewhere, and we'll be wolfing things down, wolfing out the information.
It's getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. The group is building up. We're starting to get a nice team that is growing and growing and growing. What the original vision is that it's a station that never sleeps, that we've got people all over the world, like I'm in Britain and you're in the States, and if we had someone on the third point, you know, we could just keep it rolling all the way around the world and never always have live content. So that'd be really cool. That would be a great little thing to look forward to. But until that time, we've got lots of repeats that are great things, you know. What I tend to do is, when I've got the stream, I do my like 8 hours or so, 8 to 10 to 12 hours, Or more broadcasting, and then I'll have all the recordings of that, and I'll play them again in order. So it's like, you know, I'll do 8 hours on and 8 hours off, or 12 hours on, 12 hours off, and 12 hours live and 12 hours repeats, and maybe it's a bit much. Maybe I need to just take it a little bit easier, but that's my life at the moment, and. I'll stick to it just for the moment.
That Book of Mankind?
Oh, the Book of Man. Yeah, have you read that?
No, I watched it in video.
Uh-huh. That's good, because I've been waiting for the video to come out.
Yeah, but you ain't got time to watch it. That's what Nancy was talking about on her show today.
That's right. Do you want to give me some more snippets and nuggets from it?
Well, they're only about 15, 20 minutes. The longest is 45 minutes, so it's not, it's over 2 hours.
Okay, and do I have to watch all the way from the beginning?
You can fast forward too, because it got little arrows on left and right. You can go forward, backwards, wherever you want. Uh-huh. You don't have to start at 1 and go through 15.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool. So, and what's...
I like the second book, where it's Ascension of Mankind.
Ah, the Ascension of Mankind. Right, that's good.
It's only 2 episodes, which is interesting.
And more digestible.
But what's the biggest holdback on it is there's a lot of information that it is very well missing.
Hang on, there's information that is missing. Do you mean that it's not telling... the story?
No, it's telling the story, but the stuff in between the one part to the next part, like humankind just came into existence in the fighting of the Dracos, and he names the different characters by different names, so the Dracos are by their star name.
And what's that? The Sikar?
Sikar, that's it. The Sikars. And they battle him on a planet of the True Man, or Tall Man. There's many different forms of races out there, families of humans. And he talks about that. It's halfway believable, as different than our so-called history on this planet. I don't believe a word of what the history is on this planet. Even the ones that discovered, well, it's true. Well, no. It's a form of truth, but where is the lie?
Sometimes if you, we can never, the truth comes out, and then people put a whole bunch of non-truth around it.
Yep, that's what I mean.
Try and disguise it.
Yep.
So yep. It's like, you know, it's a bit like the first book, say Benjamin Krem. You know, the first book of Benjamin Krem was really, you know, digging into the right vibe, the true vibe of Maitreya and all that. And then
on what? What was that?
The true vibrational signature of Maitreya. And then the second and third book were like, well, he was asked, you know, he was like got a publishing deal, and they say, oh, give me 2 or 3 more, and they had to force it, and it. Basically, he laid himself open.
Yeah.
And you know, he was open to disinformation, and that's what happened. So, you know, it's like, oh, I like their first album, but they, you know, after they got the record deal, they went downhill. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Wolf Spirit is growing and growing and growling, quite gratifying.
Yep. And the story of the Book of Man has so many correlations to what we have been learning lately.
So, has it got the Pleiadian attack on Maldek?
In there, yeah.
All right. Oh, it'd be interesting to see. You know, because every time I, you know, get another angle on it, I learn another little nuance that makes more sense.
I don't think it was the Pleiadians that did it.
I have a feeling, like I was saying before, that it was like a false flag, and that it was a Yeah.
They blew up Maldek. Hmm. And the consequence of Maldek, it blew off the atmosphere of Mars.
Yeah. And now I'm talking with people who are reporting that they were on Cydonia when that happened, and that they were rescued by certain Pleiadian forces.
Yes.
Brought to Earth. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's... He's got a big old database for all the riders. He explains it in the last of the 10 sessions of where he got his information from. And that's quite informative, but it doesn't really tell you anything. It's all supposition. But it's a more believable supposition, even though it's got a lot of information missing because we don't have access to the information. Some of it's out there in the galactic library. Everything's recorded there.
The sort of the Akashic records.
Yeah, well, you can call them Akashic records because that may not be the right word.
Mm. Well, here's the thing: this guy Peter. Do you remember what he was also talking about? Were these discs that self-recorded in holographic form?
That is spooky science.
That's weird stuff, wasn't it?
Yep. And they couldn't change it. Mm. They couldn't stop it. They don't know how it is, how it worked. The discs were different sizes from different nations and different nationalities and different solar systems.
And they
were here. And they were here on the planet.
Yeah. And what he said they were doing was that you'd put this on the table. And this thing would start spinning left and right, zzzz, just like the old tapes on those computers that I was talking about, you know.
Yeah. I can envision that.
Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's like a CD-ROM or a CD-RAM that's being accessed by someone.
Yeah. The head was moving, the disc was moving, and the head was moving on top of it.
Yeah.
You just couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, yeah. Where are we? I'm typo positive. I type more things than I should. I usually include extra P's. What's the other type? I always add extra P's and M's because the M's next to the comma. By the time I've finished with the keyboard, the M and the comma keys are both blurred. I've already destroyed the N on this one.
My dyslexic is spelling. And staying on track of one thought.
Spelling and focus.
Yes. But yet, if I get focused, you ain't going to drive me off it with a stick.
You're like a Leviathan, Richard.
Yep.
Once you're going, it's like a tanker. It takes 2 or 3 miles to stop.
And there's no effort on my part then.
Uh-huh.
None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a carry. Weird.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a role where that will do just perfect. You know?
I sure as hell don't want to be up on an auditorium doing that crap.
Well, maybe an internet radio station might be easier.
I don't know.
Oh, trifocals. You've got trifocals. No, I haven't even got bifocals yet. I have to pick pieces of plastic up and put them on my face. So that was an interesting thing about Walt. Did you try that?
Yes.
With the eye thing? Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It was an experiment that worked, but for what cause?
Well, that's interesting. It works even with my plastic glasses on. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to. It's just staring at a spot, and it doesn't matter where it's at. It could be out in the middle of the open. It could be while you're driving your car, which is not a good thing to do.
No.
But it can go instantaneously from the point of the experiment was. It was somewheres to start to go somewheres else. Mentally.
Mm.
So this light from your eyes so you can see like the guy over the horizon. Yeah, that's a schooner. but it is blind as a bat. But this vote, that blue light beam, he could see.
Mm. That's quite awesome. Yeah, and sometimes I wonder if I should go out with, you know, to look at the stars without my glasses. I always feel like, oh, I can't see anything. But maybe I should.
Yeah, it's like the out-of-body experience. Be with someone who does that in a room, and there is a loud one, mm-hmm. like a firecracker going off in the bedroom.
Wow.
So it is done once you learn the steps of doing, like Nancy taught her crew that worked with her in the office to do that mentally, telepathy and travel. But what really I got from Peter is they do a backward time travel to try to fix things, and then they sit and wait. Because they can't fix the future. It's not happen. And the now is always a second behind the now. So it's always in the past. They have to fix things in the past to have anything fixed in the future. That's spooky.
That's so time loopy in your wibbly wobbly timey wimey kind of matrix that it's often difficult to discern which is the correct path to take and the right thing to do. But tuning into the heart will always give you the right thing to do, even though it seems weird. And sometimes it's beyond your normal thing.
That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's where you get go with your gut feeling.
Yeah,
you got your heart and your gut works together.
Yeah. And that's the overcoming of the ego as well, because the ego wants to do the same thing that you've always done, because it's tried and trusted, and it's got all these excuses. But the heart knows, oh yeah, no, just turn that, you know, just press that, just say this. That's good, by that. That's really good. Yeah. Yes. Looking, how do you do this thing? It's really, really simple, okay? You look at the wall, and you fix your eyes upon a spot on the wall. I've actually got, I've got a peacock feather that is sticking out of Shiva. I've got a little statue of Shiva on my mantelpiece. And I've got a peacock feather that's got a little triangle. That's good enough to focus on. You focus that point, and then if you put your fingers, you splay your fingers apart, and put your fingers like you're looking through your fingers, slowly draw them down so that it goes finger on finger off finger on finger off, and then you can actually feel in your hands this kind of, what do I do, it's like a almost like a magnetic sensation, but if you then focus on your fingers you don't feel it so much anymore.
No, because you took your depth perception away from the wall. You're not supposed to see your fingers, really. You're supposed to pay attention to the wall.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it slowly. Just do it, look, stare at the wall, move your hand. You will feel it in your hand. And you can do it with a piece of paper, which you're holding, and it's the same thing.
So, with that, I think that we should wrap up the show while everybody practices looking through their fingers. Enjoy, everybody. This has been Ever Beyond, a nice, relaxed Sunday show. Thank you very much, everybody. This is the Alternative Sunday Service. Up next, Frank Jordan and the Earth Healers Group.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, Richard. Good night. Beyond.